What up? What up?
Yo,
Pastor Jeff.
Praise the Lord,
man.
Praise the Lord. How are you, sir?
We're not starting off with praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
No, for real though. Praise Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the bomb.com.
Absolutely.
You had a wonderful day, man. You had a good day.
Man, I had a wonderful day. God is good as always. Yes, sir. Wonderful. How was yours? Y'all was outside.
We was out there, man. We was outside. We almost took it down by the riverside, you know, but thankfully it wasn't one of them blazing hot days where, you know, you already know I sweat by nature anyway, but it wasn't too bad. Worship Without Walls was beautiful. Pray for the students, teachers, all that jazz. It was a wonderful day. You know, we're going to have to do it again real soon.
Absolutely. You couldn't be out there too hot because you get any more skinnier, you're just going to disappear.
Hey, the wind just blow me away.
I came out there earlier. I was like, man, you got two cores. I was like, on them your legs.
Listen. All right, man. All right. I got you. Welcome, everybody.
How y'all doing?
We're already ragging on Pastor Todd, you know, but welcome. I want you to say hello. If you're jumping in the comments, say hi. Whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, please share this video. Share the link. Tell your friends that they're watching the Religiously Incorrect podcast for Sunday, August 30th. And we're just grateful to have people in here. You all know we like to chop it up. You know, I'm sharing it right now on my page.
I'm sharing it too. I got a couple people that joined in. My boy, David Aaron Reese. My boy.
Okay.
Listen, Champ Lamont Josie, he is on. And if we ever get a chance, we need to bring this cat. Is first of all, he's hilarious. Second of all, he used to sing with John P. Key. He's
okay.
ridiculous vocals. Third of all, he's stupid as far as the word is concerned. I'm pretty sure he just graduated with his master's, I think it was. And, you know, so yeah, my boy, big ups to my boy, Champ Lamont Josie. Hey, man, okay. Mr. Reed, Keith Saffo, all kind of people joining in right now. Bless y'all, man. Thank y'all for joining in.
Right, man. Hey, listen, your shares mean the world to us. Please make sure you go to the Religiously Incorrect Facebook page, like us on Facebook, on Instagram. You know, you can follow us on YouTube at Religiously Incorrect Podcast. The more you share, the more people see, the more this movement grows. And we want to just continue to bless this world.
Yes, sir.
Like giving the real, the raw, the uncut take. You know, two pastors just talking about life, talking about this culture, community, the church.
Just chopping it up
in a religiously incorrect way. You know, we got to do it like this, Jeff. I know a bunch of folk are tuned in right now watching the movie, but you know, I can't start us off without doing this, Doc.
I'm with you, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Okay.
It's my time,
so I gotta hold it.
It's Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Shout out to our boy Chadwick Boseman.
Yes, sir.
You know, It's a tragedy, man. Can 2020 get any worse? Can 2020?
2020 is all the way down. You know, we talk about all the way up. It's all the way down, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep this on the whole time. You know,
I wouldn't do it. I can't hardly hear you now. Go ahead and take it off, bitch.
But look, man, this is the man, man. I put it on last night. It's on right now on ABC, but you know, I'm a bootleg it like everybody else, you know. But
please hurry up and bootleg it before they start charging us for it, because you know how they do.
But I'm telling you, if anybody deserves this type of accolade, and I know it feels like everybody gets a tribute these days, everybody gets an accolade, but this brother did so much in a short period of time. You know, he's on like Heath Ledger level as far as a short life, but an incredibly accomplished career and an even greater spirit. Everything we know about him. And let me say this, Jeff, if somebody come up with some mess in the next 2 weeks or month about this, I'm like, man, just bunk it. Wipe it off. I don't want to
hear it. Let it go. I mean, for him to do what he done and to achieve all that he achieved.
All that he achieved.
What he was dealing with.
Age 4 colon cancer.
It makes the achievement so much more greater. It makes it so much more real. It makes it so much more, you know, just huge. That is just big in my eyes. And to not tell anyone, Right. I mean, he could have came out when they was ragging on him the other day, when they was ragging on him when he put the pictures up and he had to take the comments down. He could have just came out and said, listen, y'all know what I'm dealing with. He still kept it to himself. He turned the comments off and kept things to himself. That is a man of integrity.
Yeah.
That is a man that, you know, I mean, we looking up to Black Panther, and we for great rights, he's a great black superhero. But I'm looking to Chadwick Boseman, that he is just a man of integrity. So,
and you know what? There are a lot of wonderful actors, you know, your Morgan Freeman, your Denzel Washington, your Samuel L. Jackson. I'm talking about male actors in particular.
Right.
A lot of Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, people who have just made us proud. But let me keep it real here, Jeff. I don't think anybody has had the chance to play as many iconic characters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Denzel got Malcolm X. You know, Will Smith got Ali. You know, Jamie Foxx got Ray.
Right. You about to get Mike Tyson.
And they're all, who got what?
He about to get Mike Tyson.
Oh, he about to get Mike Tyson.
He is, seriously. And Mike Tyson, yeah.
Okay, but I mean, that's beautiful, but let's be real here. This dude played Thurgood Marshall, Jackie Robinson,
James Brown, yes.
And the first mainstream fictional, you know, superhero. I'm talking like mainstream on that level. We've had him before. Let's not pretend like we haven't had black superheroes like Storm,
Meteor Man,
Blank Man, Blank Man. But
I forgot about him.
You thought I forgot?
I forgot about him.
He forgot about Blank Man.
Oh my God!
His brother,
good reason,
played a king, a crime fighting Marvel superhero king.
Absolutely.
And three iconic figures of black culture and black history. You can't do better than that. Hats off, salute. Prayers to his wife, to his children, to his family. Yes. Now, I'll leave it with this before we move on, before Mike gives us the wrap it up signal, before Big Mike tells us. It's been said several times, this is not an original thought, Pastor Jeff, but it bears repeating. Not only did this brother keep his condition, you know, hidden from the public, didn't make a big spotlight, a big carry on about it, but his circle did the same thing.
Yes.
His circle held him down. And you know what? Everybody approaches things differently. I don't bash anybody who maybe they tell the world and they're on a journey. You know, we've known about some superstars who've gotten sick, but I appreciate the dignity and the discretion that this brother brought to his sickness. Everybody doesn't have to do that. Everyone does not have to react and carry themselves in that way. It might be inspiring for some people to watch a star go through and for us to be on that journey. But for him to choose to keep it to himself and to go to work every day, like a lot of everyday Americans do through sickness, through pain, through grief, you know, that's a testament. And he definitely deserves. I know we've been overdoing it with the tributes and the 9-hour funerals and all that stuff. You know, Aretha Franklin's 3-week funeral. I think Aretha Franklin's funeral just ended.
But I mean, like you said, I mean, honestly, and I think we can learn a lot from his circle, that we don't always have to be the first to rush to Facebook to say RIP. We don't have to be the first to say, you know, such and such got this. And we, you know, to get accolades for ourselves.
Right.
Trying to put somebody else's business out there.
And even just in the sickness. Even just in the sickness.
Right, right.
I mean, we'll carry on, you know, we got the flu or something, or, you know. You know, we'll make sure the whole world knows what we're going through. But, you know, Black Panther, Wakanda forever. Got to do it again. Wakanda forever. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to work that out, but nobody will ever replace the original Black Panther. That's all.
This
I can
man say. Who couldn't take care of his own father.
All right. Tonight's subject, Pastor Jeff. Is what is it? Pastor, preacher, person? Pastor, preacher, person.
Woo! We got some pastors.
Got some pastors on. Listen, tag the pastor right now and tell him we talking about him. No, never mind. Don't do that. We already had that. No,
please don't.
But we're talking about, obviously, we're pastors. Right. This is called Religiously Incorrect. And we are talking about the tension between our divine calling in our everyday life that exists. You know, Jeff, I can liken it to this. We've often explored in recent years in discussing blackness, equity, equality, the dual realities of African Americans. And we've talked about like tone switching or code switching, as we call it, where African Americans live in a duality in this nation. We live in the mainstream world, for instance, where we have to make it happen. And then we have our own world. Mm-hmm. And pastors are really no different. We all have to live in a duality. The call to minister, whether you are a senior pastor, an associate minister, an evangelist, whatever it might be, it is a serious, heavy burden. It comes with obviously a lot of internal development, struggle, you know, stress, maturity, a lot of internal rewards as well. A lot of contentment, satisfaction, the feeling that you are serving God. But it also comes with a public side to it. You know, once that title is put on you, man, you're not just Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. You're not just Jeff and Todd. You know what I mean? Even you and I mean, people don't even call us by our, I mean, it's strange to hear our first names.
It is. And it's strange to even see folk outside of folk you don't even know. You know, I could be in a grocery store. You know, you can't have a bad day. You can't have a slip up. Somebody's watching. Pastor, I'm like, hey, how you doing? I didn't know, you know, I don't know you. But
yeah, I was arguing about my return at the customer service desk. about to tell off this clerk.
You know, like you said, you know, you have this internal struggle, which is ultimately leads to an eternal reward. So it is very, you know, and we have to realize that Jesus was the only person who was able to be wholly human as well as wholly divine. And we're trying to live up to that standard and trying to, you know, do some things. But, you know, we have, like you said, this duality that we have to, you know, share in it, you know, especially for those of us, and which is most of us, especially in the, you know, Christianum, we are married, you know, we have wives and we have children and we have bills. We have bills that need to be paid. So yeah, I got you, man.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of, I mean, it's like, it's become a popular culture trope, you know, a motif, a joke, image, a caricature, if you will, of the pastor persona.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor persona.
You know,
you're always talking with the extra, you know, you know, even when you're like, you know, at the restaurant, like, well, can I take your order? I'd like a two-piece. You know, and people just expect it. And then, unfortunately, certain powerful personalities, well-known figures, become like the de facto spokespersons for everybody, not by what they say, but just how they carry themselves.
Right.
You know, and depending on what era you're raised in or what culture you're raised in, that's what people attach you to.
Right.
So, you know, for one era, it was the Jasper Williams era. You know, for another era, it's the T.D. Jakes era. Now, we got the young, modern, skinny jean preaching, you know.
Talking about, yeah.
So it's a little difficult when we are trying to live up to a persona. And how much, Jeff, do you think, as we look at the pastor, the preacher, as a person, like any other public position, how do you think the public pressure, the public image, just the prominence that comes with that title, how does that affect the way a man or woman carries themselves? You know, and I'm talking everyday life. I'm not talking when they're in a pulpit.
Absolutely. It boils down, it honestly boils down to the person. But for the most part, it's very difficult. Even, you know, for me right now, you know, having a motorcycle is different for a pastor. It be careful means a whole lot more.
Right. You're the biker bishop.
Right. You know, but just like you said, just to, I don't, it's difficult for me to just throw on something. You know, I got to be careful what I wear. Be careful how I talk. Be careful the jokes that I make. You know, at work. At work, you know, in the lunchroom, in a break, there's a persona in a break room, you know. Yeah. What I mean? You know, oh, yeah. people come around you, and you know they'll cuss it. Oh, excuse me, Pastor. Excuse me, Reverend. Excuse me. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You know, they really don't mean it, but it's
right, almost right. Nobody.
It's almost a joke, you know. But
right,
it's very difficult. It's and so then you have the other ones who want to take it to a whole nother level, where okay, you know. You may be evangelist such and such at church, but to your family, you still Jeff. You know what I mean? But
right.
You know, you have those who want to hold their title so close and so dear. I am such. Come on. You know what I mean? And I mean, I'm not saying that you're not worthy. You didn't earn that title or whatever it is. But yeah. So you're still a person as well as that pastor or preacher.
You know, I'm weirded out by people who family members, especially like cousins or aunts or uncles, who call me pastor because they've been calling me Todd. I've been little Todd. Of course, you know, times are changing, but I was the young one of the family, one of the younger generation. So now coming into, obviously I've been an adult for a long time, but you don't always feel like an adult next to your elders until you get to a certain level.
Right.
And for them to call you pastor and they're twice your age. And I've especially cousins and different ones. I'm like, it's Todd still, you know.
Right, right.
Still, just Todd. But on the other hand, there are some people who don't know you as anything but a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this is not an ego trip, but it's weird to hear your name called because you're so used to hearing pastor.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's not egotistical.
Yeah, that is. You're right. You're right.
Odd. So even the way you care. Even the way you carry yourself, what you say to the public. Dave Holbrook, our good friend, Pastor Dave Holbrook from Warren Revival Center, he says, I've become more aware of the impact of even being sick and the concern that it causes people. Listen, if you're a pastor, you can't tell people you have a flat tire. If you're a pastor, you know what I'm saying? If you're a pastor, the smallest little things have people wanting to run to your
rescue. Absolutely.
And let's jump to that person what Pastor Dave just talked about. You appreciate it, but you're somewhat intimidated because you know that for the most part, people are coming from a pure place wanting to take care of someone that they care about.
Absolutely.
They don't want you to, you know, be alone. I think what a theme I hear a lot is, Pastor, you already have so much on you.
Your plate. Yep.
Is there any way I can help you? If there's any way, I want to be there for you. But then you don't want it to come off as like hero worship.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to come. And even if you know they're not doing it, you don't want other people to perceive their help, their love, their loyalty, because it's like a superstar, a Hollywood star. It's like you do have fanatics. You do have some people who go overboard and you're not even asking them to, but you're worried, you get self-conscious, especially in a world where we are so, you know, at an equal level nowadays. I don't want people to feel like, you know, I'm accepting all this glory, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, today, you know, I'm not a new pastor, but I'm a pastor at a new church.
Right.
You know, I've just recently took over a church. And, you know, when I walked in today, you know, they ran up to me, Pastor, when your birthday? When your birthday?
Yeah.
April 20th. Well, oh, we missed everybody riding around. You know, and that's what they wanted to do. And I'm glad ain't nobody. I don't need 50 people riding past me.
Hey, listen, this is the season of the parade. There is a parade. For everything.
I know they wanted to do it out of love, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's like, you know, I mean, you know, for me, I get it. I do get it. I've been there. I've been the they like acolyte or the armor. I don't need nobody to carry my Bible when I walk through church.
Right.
I don't. I mean, the Bible only weighed 1 pound. If I can't carry it myself, I got issues. I don't need you to take off my coat.
Right.
I don't need you to take off my coat. If I come in and say I'm hungry, I'm hungry. That don't mean run up to KFC and get me a 3-piece chicken biscuit.
Right, right.
With more potatoes and gravy.
And we appreciate the thoughtfulness. But, you know, I know, and it's one thing that, you know, everybody is self-conscious about everything that they do. And I'm self-conscious about people going way out their way. And then right. It depends on your background. Because, again, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're an elder, you're an evangelist, you're whatever, but you are still a person. And who you have been and how you've been raised affects how you perceive things. So perfect example, you know my background and family, very blue collar, very working class, that alpha male, I'll do it myself. And obviously my father was one of those, of course, you better not touch my Bible, carry my Bible, don't drive my car, don't wax my car, don't do any of that. I've carried that workhorse mentality into such extremes sometimes, because a lot of it is, I don't want to feel like I'm betraying my lineage, my examples. I don't want to be, I come from this humble blue collar family that never had these grand names, so to speak, right. And had this excellent. So I don't want to be the dude like, oh, he's on these billboards and all this stuff. But also it's a self-conscious thing. Which I am, of course, I am on all these newspapers and all, but I also just feel self-conscious about the perception of it. Yeah. And, but at the same time, Pastor Jeff, we can worry so much about that type of thing, trying to walk in human, and we're not really trying, we're really just trying to be ourselves. We're not trying to be humble. Right. We're just trying to avoid things that might make us a little uncomfortable or off kilter. But honestly, it might cause us to push away good help we actually do need.
Listen, I can specifically remember Pastor Todd, us being at Agape and your anniversaries would come around and you say over and over again, I don't need nothing. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You're like, stop saying that. You're ruining your own anniversary. But. And you can sort of, because again, I think a big part of it is we are living off of this very culturally aware position, like I said before, of how bad behavior of pastors, news reports, even locally, just local perceptions, it's not calling any names, bearing any blame, but people just feel like pastors all about the money and the glory and the ego and the this. And now some of us, and I'm not saying me and you are the pure guys, but a lot of people just try so hard not to accept it that we might be actually rejecting, just like a person who rejects love, you know, rejects, you know, people who care about them. So Marlon sort of hit on what we were talking about with titles. Marlon Reed asked, as pastor, does it bother you if someone doesn't admonish you or address you as a pastor, but just your first names, even if they know you're a pastor? You know what? To me, I think of it more in terms, just me personally, Jeff can speak for himself. Sometimes it's just more of a man thing, because sometimes you can tell when someone is purposely trying to avoid any sort of, it's like you're going out your way. And I'm not high on my title, but nobody wants to be disrespected if I know you're trying to be funky. At the same time, I've never felt the need, and I hopefully never ever will feel the need to address somebody or correct somebody, because at the end of the day, my name is Todd. My mother named me Todd. And whatever your intentions behind you calling me that, if you feel like, you know, if there's an intention, you can feel it. That's what discernment is for.
Oh, yeah.
That's on you. That's on you.
I couldn't say it no much better. It is the intention by what they say it. We went to pray for one of the pastors in the community today, and one of the ladies there said, I call him by his first name. No disrespect to him. I've known him all my life. I love him with all my heart. And, you know, and you could tell there was a mutual respect there, and that's fine. You know what I mean?
Right.
It is, you know, right. Like I said, you know, even biblically, Paul would say, I, Paul, called to be an apostle.
Janet McFadden just said that. You're right on it. Yeah, he never introduced himself as Apostle Paul, but Paul, an apostle of God. You know, who you are as a person really does matter more than who you are in a position.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Elder Michael Scott, good to see you. Just want to throw some shout outs. Elder Rosetta, good to see you. Jamie Mason's on. Pastor Holbrook is on as well. Marlon, thank you for tuning in. Jeanette, We really appreciate all of you. Of course, we encourage everybody.
Dr. Michael Harrison is over here. I got it.
On a watch party.
He said something. He said they someone will say something stupid matter what you do. Don't rob the people of their blessing. You're right.
And you know what? Let's just be clear here. Just like people can call your name in a way that's a little on the funky side, they can also call you by your title in a way.
Absolutely. Oh, come on.
Okay.
Pastor.
Pastor. I mean, you're supposed to be a pastor. That's why ministry is not given to everyone. It is so much bigger than, well, everybody's not prepared to preach every week, and everybody's not prepared to teach in-depth lessons, and everybody's not prepared to do spiritual warfare. No, everybody's not prepared for the little offenses. You know, in racial talk, we call it microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, microaggressions are not just about race and little small ticks of racism. It's about just how you treat one another, period. We might call it, what do you call it? Passive aggressive behavior,
right?
Sideways comments, you know, all those types of things. And people will do it in any position you're in and try to take advantage, you know, of you. And you know what? Some people, because you're still a person, they'll try to test you or pull you into a place, you know, let me see if I can get him in. Let me, you know, her in. Let me see if I can, you know, pull them into a place and kind of get them going. And, you know, and that's a game for some people. It's a game.
I think, you know, we have to oftentimes, us as pastors, have to be very, very, very cautious of what we do, you know, because, you know, in church, we do get those accolades and we do. So when we get home, oftentimes, those accolades don't always,
always
transfer. Those credits ain't transferred from church to home, you know, and you get home and you're like, your wife like, listen, you need to take out the trash.
Yeah, right.
What? I'm the pastor.
You might be pastor out there, but you garbage man up in here.
Yeah, so I mean we cannot get so, you know, high in my, and you know, and even in that aspect of our families. You know, those are things, you know, because we can pray for the whole world and not see our family being
families. And, you know,
losing them.
I know you were taught the same thing. Of course, you know what I was taught coming up.
Yes.
Is that there's a divine order to this thing. And I am a husband first.
Absolutely.
You know, a father second. And then whatever my occupation or duty outside of my home comes far after that. And, you know, that might go to, hey, if I don't answer the phone on the first ring every time, because I'm giving my children my attention.
Yes. Come on, Doc.
I'm spending time with my wife, and no, it doesn't always mean intimacy, but it could. You know, I'm a person. We still young. Well. We could just be caught up watching a movie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if it's an emergency, call back. Say 911 on the text and pastor, get at me. But please don't, you know, top my ear off. And by the way, as a person, as a pastor, you know, we get called like 24/7, but every call isn't significant.
Absolutely. And
I even get like late night text messages that are just like responses to a group text from 5 hours ago.
Absolutely. And
I'm like, look, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's midnight. You know, again, I'm still a person. You know, I'm just an individual. And, you know, Dave, you know, mentioned Pastor Hope, but there's folks who will make Siri call them pastor. You're right about that.
Dave, Pastor Dave, that need to go on the meme.
And won't let their children call them pastor. And you know, that's just, we have to really embrace. And honestly, a term I was introduced to when I came the second was the term, and Jamie already said it, brother pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Several, especially some of my just more traditional minded members who I love and cherish. They just have that. They were raised in that culture. And I love the idea of that term.
Yes.
I'm a brother first in the Lord, in the vineyard, in the kingdom. I know I have a position. Some folk like to use words like rank, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You got rank in the kingdom, all that stuff. But really, before I was ever any of those things, I was brother. Right. And at our most base, you know, level, I'm brother. Absolutely. And then pastor. And so I love that, but it's also an acknowledgement that there is a particular, you know, weight that's upon me that's not upon the others. And by the way, I think it's important, Jeff, for us to shift gears a little bit and talk about a little bit where it is that people seem to want to acknowledge the personhood of the pastor, of the preacher, of the elder, of the minister. There are two main places where I've identified.
Uh-oh.
People are always eager to identify the personhood of the pastor. And that is the preacher, the elder, whoever it is. The first one is when a pastor who they desire to defend has fallen.
Mm.
And their defense of the fallenness is, well, he's just a man. She's just a woman. They're just people like you and I. Right. And listen, this is religiously incorrect, right? If a pastor's cheating on his wife, well, pastors get horny too. If she wasn't giving it up like she should, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, pastors have needs too. Pastors need money too. Da, 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 da. And they will talk about how he's just a person, how he's just like everybody else when they want to defend bad behavior. The second area where I notice this a lot is when individuals, usually within a church context, or sometimes maybe in a conversation with a minister, even if they're not your pastor per se, is when someone is looking to sort of diminish or demean the authority of the man or woman of God.
Yes.
So the pastor is exercising rightful leadership and authority. And it's, well, pastor, who are you to tell us what we ought to do? Who are you to tell us what God is saying? I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you. You know, I wear two shoes just like you and all that. And it becomes really just sort of a clapback as a way of ignoring the God-ordained authority. Now, it doesn't always happen. I haven't gotten that, you know, people jumping up in meetings, yelling at me and all. But we all know that's a reality.
It is. It's happened more than once. Absolutely.
Yep. And so, but there's more to being a person. There's more to being a human being than just when I fall or fail. And there's more to just being a human being when someone would rather not follow my leadership or a person's leadership. A pastor gets anxious. A pastor has goals and dreams and desires. A preacher, a minister, an evangelist, they look at their bank account and wonder if they're going to be able to retire. You know, there are nights when I come home, or just on a day, not to be, I came home from church and something happened, but I could just be watching TV and all of a sudden the sink starts leaking, or the power goes out, or we get into a fender bender and the insurance won't cover it or whatever.
Absolutely.
Pastors really do, preachers, elders, evangelists, everyday life is still happening to us like everybody else.
And then it gets very difficult, you know, for me personally, as a bivocational pastor.
Right.
As a bivocational pastor, when, you know, I have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, don't get off till 7, but I got to run from Warren out to Boardman St. E's,
right,
to pray for somebody before they have surgery, get back to work by 7, work from 7 to 7, then leave to go back out to Boardman to make sure they're okay. You know, they want the pastor there.
Well, Jeff, I need to introduce you to FaceTime because...
I understand. Trust me, I understand.
I know what you mean.
You know, it's different. And there's been times I say, well, you know, they really want to see the pastor's face. And FaceTime now, especially now since COVID, is all this stuff is excellent. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, they're looking for the pastor, but the person.
Yeah.
The person.
Person is tired.
The person is hungry.
Is
wore out. The person is literally sleepy.
The person could be beefing with his wife, struggling with his children. You know,
me and my wife don't beef. Me and my wife don't beef.
Hey, we do not need Tiffany popping in here.
Absolutely. Listen, let me say this real quick, and I know you want to go on with that.
No, go.
Say this real quick, because I have a lot of people making comments on where I share. I can't upload the comments like Pastor Todd can. So don't think we're ignoring you.
No.
I'm reading them all. So
you got to comment on the, but by the way, you got to comment on the original podcast video if you wanted to show up on the screen, but we will read as many as we can from other sources.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Read yours.
Oh, I don't want to, because we way past half of them. I just want to make it known. We're way past the subject. So.
No, much appreciated. So what do you wish that most people would know about pastors that you think they don't? I'm not talking about the same old tropes. I'm not talking about the same old cliches. What do you think people should know about pastors?
That we're not always in the Holy of Holies. We're not, they say that you're so spiritually minded, you can't be any earthly good. Well, first of all, I have an issue with that, because if you're not spiritually minded, you're probably no earthly good anyway. But the thing is, we're not always, you know, first of all, I don't always got a word for you. You know, every situation is not, you know, you, hey, Pastor, what you think? Sometimes I want to just have fun. Sometimes yeah. I want to just laugh. Sometimes I want to just, you know, be me, be Jeff. You know, I don't want to be the person who got to pray at every cookout.
Listen, the pastor of the family, Doc.
It has literally become the starting pistol of the race. You know what I mean? And then you don't see that gun no more throughout the whole.
Hey, can we be real here?
Yes, sir.
Most of the time, that's the only time we are a minister to our families, is when they want us to pray for something. Listen, I can go in a thousand different directions on this one, and I got a few people that could, but let me hit it like this. Let me tell one thing that I wish people would know. Everything that concerns me that might be positive or negative is not some super spiritual event. You know, if I'm, let's just say I'm just a little tired, got a headache. Listen, I just got a headache today.
Yeah, that's
all. I'm just chilling out at home, or you know, I'm not taking a bunch of calls or running around. It's not the devil attacking me. It's not, you know, I don't need all the prayer warriors to come out and start flagging outside my office and waving spirits away. It's not ministerial weirdness. I'm not about to break down. I'm not about to have a spiritual burnout. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a human. My foot hurts today. I twisted my ankle playing with my boys or whatever. And so I'm just limping a little bit. You don't have to be like extra with me. Everybody else has to go to work with their headache, with their indigestion, with their long weekend. They did a lot and they're a little tired. I do too. You know, I do too.
Absolutely. And you, I don't need the smart comment. Lay hands on yourself. If you was really speak encouragement over yourself.
I would pray for you, Doc. You know, pastors do have ambition.
Yes. Yes.
Every human being does. It doesn't mean we're trying to get ahead of God and everything. It doesn't mean that we're trying to step on people or use people for our own good, you know, or for our own purposes, whether it's our local churches or our friends or speaking engagements. But I mean, everybody wants to do a little better at whatever it is that they're doing than they were before.
Can I just add to that? If I buy a Cadillac, I'm not using it. I'm not. You know, this isn't all the church's money. I'm not, you know, robbing the church to buy my Cadillac.
But
if I have a nice house, you know, I mean, come on. Listen, if your doctor's driving a Geo Metro.
I'm changing doctors. I'm changing doctors.
Just be honest. You pull up to your doctor's office in the doctor's office space. Geo Metro.
I'm changing. I'm changing doctors right away.
Stop getting mad at pastors because they want a nice car. They want a nice car. It's okay.
I mean, and there are disproportionate levels of, you know, material and financial, you know, wealth that some ministers Sister Johnson said, my doctor has student loans. You know what? You're right. You're right. Just because somebody's a doctor might not mean they have it all. But look, yo, do something. Do something. Don't even drive. Take the bus. Do something. But what I'll say is, you know, and you know, all that with the church, you know, well, you know, that is a part of our culture. There are some ministers who do receive support and financial sustenance. And one thing I say, I mean, there's the pastors y'all see on TV with the Bentleys and the airplanes, and we can have debates about what's excessive and what's not. Right. But can we stop acting like a Cadillac or a nice vehicle is like you bought Mars, like you bought a space shuttle? Like,
I know people working at McDonald's that got a Cadillac.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of jobs you can work, and depending on where your priorities are, this person might not have a house payment because his house is paid off. And so he just likes, everybody likes, I like gadgets. I'll buy a mediocre, you know, I'll drive a mediocre car and have top of the line gadgets. That's my thing. Everybody. And by the way, let's speak to that. Pastors have hobbies outside of church.
Come on. There it is. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have hobbies, likes, dislikes, you know, me and you are both into sports. And unless we initiate the conversation, we'd probably rather not talk about church when we want to talk about sports.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'd rather not.
When we're watching an Ohio State game, let's not bring up John 3:16. It's just.
Don't ask no theological questions while the playoffs are on. I'm not about to answer it. I'm going to say, I don't know what Thessalonians mean, but I know what second LeBron-alonian.
If you don't know what O-H-I-O, just scream that out. Quiet. That's it.
You know, and by the way, as a person, I don't want to have to feel obligated to answer for every other person who carries the same title as me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, let me be me. And understand, can we be real, Jeff?
Please.
When you know me, and let's be honest, some people will treat you like you are the main pastor, preacher, evangelist. You know, you have deep relationship with you. They treat everybody they treat you with the great respect. And then they post up something crazy about pastors.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I'm the main pastor you know. Pastors feel some kind of way when we see people who we love and we know love us. And people shall stop saying, yeah, but you know I don't mean you. Yeah, well, if I know somebody works at McDonald's and I'm bashing McDonald's workers.
Absolutely.
And my little cousin and my little sister or my church member works at McDonald's. And I talk about how, my burger is wrong. That's why you McDonald's workers only deserve, you know, minimum wage. And I wouldn't give you no 15. If I go on a rant like that, knowing that a friend of mine does that specific job, does that specific function, they're going to take it to heart a little bit. You know, we take things to heart. We're not super sensitive, you know, but let somebody put out an ugly post about factory workers and watch about 30 factory workers get on there and talk about
the union going crazy.
If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have, you know, nothing in your house and all that kind of stuff. So we do take that stuff because we're people. We take stuff personal. Can I share one more?
Go ahead.
As a person who happens to be a pastor, I live in constant fear that I'm going to end up on the Church at Laugh website.
Wait a minute. Can I take it one step further than that?
Yeah, I did not want to be a meme, man.
One step further than that. I'm not looking at being Church on Laughs. I get worried about being on Raymond's post. Because Raymond will get you, bro.
Yeah, man.
We'll get you.
I'm like, this that had the phone on the whole time.
He will get you. But I mean, back to being for me, and I'm not going to talk about anybody else, but for me, there is, even as a pastor who is a person, sometimes there is a bit of insecurity.
Yeah.
There's a bit of insecurity when, you know, somebody may visit your church one week and they tell you how good it was, how much they loved it, how much they loved the word, this and that, and they come back the next week, they tell you how much, then they don't show up again at all.
Yeah.
You begin to wonder to yourself.
Yep.
You know, there is a wonder. There's an insecurity. Did I think
job? It's like you're an artist and nobody buys your albums.
Come on, yes.
You made a movie and poured your heart and soul into it and it flopped.
Come on.
Being a minister of any sort is a public job. And too often, I don't care how much folk talk about only what you do for Christ will last. Listen, if the numbers are going down, if the views are low, you know, even if there's no likes, it's just like, it's no different than adults. And some of y'all adults are just as insecure. If somebody don't like your picture you put up of your selfie, enough likes and enough hearts, you start to feel some kind of way. You know, one of my, you know, he's not my friend, but a Facebook friend of mine, Mark Moore, Elder Mark Moore, he's been doing dynamic things. I mentioned his name before. Yes, he said, look, he said, if I put something up online and it don't take off right away, I'm deleting that joint. I'm not about to waste these good quotes and videos for 17 likes. Like if it ain't jumping, then of course his level is, I need to see 300 likes. I need to see 100, you know, and for us, it could be a couple dozen at least. I need to see this. I need to see some share. Everybody has insecurities about what they do. And you know, again, stop this, because you're a man or woman of God, you don't deal with that feeling. We all deal with that feeling. And it doesn't make us any less a man or woman of God, or any less of deserving of whatever respect, whatever deference that might come with that. Scott said, who's a faithful watcher, Scott Heater, we appreciate you. He says, pastor is not a for life assignment. A pastor can leave a church and enter a secular job without a moral failure. Now, let me give a quick plug and tell everybody that our rapid fire segment is coming up in just a minute. So if you have any rapid fire questions, get ready to type them in or send them to our Gmail account, religiouslyincorrectpodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to jump into this in about 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to jump into rapid fire before we wrap up. But let me address what Scott just said. My pops used to always say that no ministry assignment is for life, or doesn't have to be for life. Nobody has to be a permanent anything.
Right.
Elder, deacon, minister, evangelist. Now, the call might be on your life, and some people do abdicate it. They abandon it. You know, they abort the mission. But we have a hard time believing that. I've always talked about churches having a lifespan, but even some personal ministries have a lifespan.
Come on.
And we talk about, you know, the old joke, and it's a joke. Sometimes it's a shameful joke about, you know, ministers you don't know when to let go. People, listen, there are some people still chasing certain levels of ministry that they may never obtain, in the same way somebody who never made the league is still hoping a team calls them.
Absolutely.
And it's not to say that God cannot use anybody at any age, but whether you are 25 or 65, you have to know where you fit and where the ministry fits in your life. And I think there needs to be more people. And I've respected people who have been able to say, I think my season of pastoring is up. It doesn't matter how much more gas I have in the tank. I feel God shifting me in this direction. Or, Jeff, I'm way too practical for my own good. Maybe God just gave me a window of time, and in wisdom and good intelligence, I made a good decision about when to step aside. And I didn't need the heavens to open up and tell me to leave a pulpit or to shift from a church. And I didn't fall. My marriage isn't falling apart. I'm not depressed and burnt out. I ran out of sermons. I ran out of sermons. You think that's impossible, but it's not. Our culture makes us feel it's impossible.
Right. And it's not shameful. There's nothing wrong with doing it. You know, as many of you know, many of those who are watching it, obviously, you know, I had to do it. I had to step down from pastoring at one point in my life. I stepped down from pastoring. I became Pastor Todd's assistant pastor for 3 years, and it was a wonderful 3 years. We done great things together. And it didn't make me any less of a person. I was not, you know, they still called me pastor. They still, you know, recognized me. You know, I just didn't get to preach every week. And right. It's okay.
Right. Might it's be for the best sometimes. I mean, for some of us, it's for the best. Like, recharge. Right. Get
absolutely.
Your.
Absolutely. You know, I can specifically recall, you know, at that point, I think, you know, I might have very few members was at my church at that point, you know, and you put me over a man's ministry where we had 20 to 30 men, you know, so that ministry inside the ministry was huger than the entire ministry I just had. So many of us hold on to a senior pastor position with 10 members instead of being a lay pastor with 50 members. I mean, the differential.
So, and you know what? Like whole churches, and we'll end on this and kind of, you know, get ready to segue with a quick buffer here. But like whole churches, we often wait until we get to the most broken, destitute state to even consider it. And I have always maintained that whether it's an individual minister of any type, whether it's an evangelist that's on the road or an associate who has been faithfully serving at under a pastor, an elder in a church, a senior pastor, it would do a lot for us mentally and emotionally and spiritually if it was always a viable, unashamed possibility of life, as opposed to a last resort, as opposed to a life failure. If we always just looked at not being in that position and not being that person, it would do so much better for our mental. Our mental is so messed up because of, and here's what the, and let me be clear about this. When you talk about people affecting the persona of a pastor, we keep talking about how pastors behave, but we don't talk about how people expect pastors to behave and put pressure on them to behave a certain way and then act like they're nothing and not important. And I mean, it's the people who treat us like nobodies if we're not a senior pastor. It's the people if you're not getting enough likes on sermon invitations.
You're right.
With the big dogs. And those same people are the same ones who are talking about these guys who elevate themselves and walk in that persona, but you've pressured them into behaving that way. You've pressured them into believing that they could only be respected not as pastors, but as people.
I still recall pastors who literally would, you know, they didn't know what to call me anymore. And then when I took the pastor position again at the church I went to, they was like, some of them literally said to me, "Pastor, I can say that now." No, I've been a pastor.
You've been a shepherd.
And some of them, I still have more members than in my men's group. Listen, Pastor Harrison said we're going to get in trouble. You know we stay there until we die. We always in trouble, Pastor Harrison. It's nothing new.
We've all been there. By the way, President Harrison, we're bringing you in real soon on the show because we know
we got
some wisdom and fire.
Pastor, he killed it the other day. It was four pastors. I don't even know who they was. They was all good. But Pastor Harrison killed it, talking about the vote in, the getting registered. Thank you so much, President. I mean, Dad, President, you done an awesome job that other day.
So we're out. Listen, pastors, preachers, elders, evangelists, prophets, bishops, apostles, associate ministers, we're people too. And not just in the, like I said, the disrespect or the failure way, but, you know, there are so many things that are placed upon ministers and we have to be careful of the monsters we create. So we have to wrestle with the monsters we've created, the expectations we've created. And then we as pastors have to be responsible and accountable that we're not going to live in expectations that God hasn't called us to. All right.
Hey, man, did they clean your cape?
What now?
They clean your cape.
Hey, my preaching cape better be ironed every service. Themed.
I need some hot water with tea with lemon drops in it.
Yellow M&Ms. Only yellow M&Ms. If I see a green M&M, I'm rebuking the whole church. Hey, this is religiously incorrect. We hope you enjoyed the discourse. We're going to take a quick 1 minute break, and then we're coming back with rapid fire. If you have a rapid fire,
y'all don't want to miss this. Y'all don't want to miss rapid fire.
We're going to bring Big Mike into the picture. Big Mike, are you ready? Give me a thumbs up. Big Mike is coming into the picture. We're doing a quick buffer. Make sure you grab your religiously incorrect swag at religiouslyincorrectpodcast.com. There you go. Your shirts, your cell phones. you cannot get Wakanda mask yet, but we're going to get with our Chinese supplier and get our bootleg Wakanda mask. Listen, you going to buy them somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
These will be at the flea market this weekend. All right. So make sure you get your swag. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. There it is. There it is. Let's go out like this, Jeff. Let's go out like this. And if you got a rapid fire question, send it to us now. We'll be back in a quick moment. Is that groove hot or what?
Yeah, that's
shout out to John.
I was doing moonwalk and everything.
Learning all the kids' dances. I'm over here doing the swole and the, right. Shout out to Johnny Austin for the new theme music. Of course, Big L, who does a lot of our graphics. We got Big Mike here, our producer. We can't forget HD Free. He has set the template for a lot of what we do, a lot of our early episodes. We appreciate him. Big Mike, is rapid fire time. What do we got?
First, I want to say, excuse my background.
I like the scenery. I like
that's hot, Doc. I thought you were hot.
You're on your wife's garden patio?
I'm a summer baby. The summer about over, so I'm kind of upset. So I'm outside as much as I can be right now.
Absolutely. Okay. What's happening,
Big Mike? First question. Somebody kind of hit on it earlier. Actually, it was Janet McFadden. What happened to door-to-door witnessing? I remember back in the day, people used to go witness it, knock on the doors, not just Christians, but you had, you know, your Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. But I don't really see anybody witnessing no more. What's up with that?
First of all, somebody's audio is up.
Mike, check your audio. I think your audio is up.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear an echo.
How's that? Is that better?
It's still up. No, I'm still hearing it. I don't know where it's coming from. Something's playing. I can hear it.
What you hear, a squeak?
No, I just hear our show like 30 seconds behind. But I think it's gone now.
All right, it's gone. Okay. That was my bad. I was watching on the computer. Facebook and on YouTube. So that's probably what y'all heard.
We appreciate your devotion. Yeah, this is what you're talking about. Is it possible that I'm being taken to the streets? Yeah, that's exactly what Mike is talking about. I talked to a white pastor friend about that, who was very aggressive about doing street ministry. And one of the things that I said is that in the Black community, it's become so normalized that the church is just there as a part of the community that we don't actively evangelize as if we're talking to strangers. I think we sort of assume, particularly in the African-American community, that you already know, you know, about Christianity in the church. But I think that's a bad assumption, because we live in a very secular society now, and we're not really keeping up with how secular we are. And I think we sort of discount how that's the story of Jesus and his redemption can impact people, because we think they just heard it. And as me and Jeff talked about earlier, all the jokes about church, all the things about preachers, the memes that are out. Yeah, I think we're almost afraid to approach people like that anymore.
Well, I would say, first of all, COVID happened. COVID happened.
Before that, we weren't doing it, man.
But I would say this, that I think the method has changed. I know for a fact, I watched Pastor Todd for literally a whole summer do Walk the Walk challenge. And he put a challenge out there where he just walked through the neighborhood and talked to neighbors and got to know people. And, you know, me, because of my work schedule, I wasn't able to do it as much, but I do go out and walk the neighborhoods and talk to people who may be out on their porch. Now, door to door is a little different. You just never know. I mean,
and Mike, let me just say, from a historic standpoint, and this might sound hokey to a lot of people, you got to remember, door-to-door evangelism was big in an era when door-to-door everything was big.
Gotcha.
Most people don't expect for people to even knock on their doors anymore.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
But there was a time when, you know, the milkman knocked on your door, you know, vacuum cleaner salesman, life insurance salespeople used to knock door to door and sell life insurance door to door. You know, there was a lot of magazine sellers. Yeah. I mean, let's just be honest. We don't send our Girl Scouts out door to door to sell cookies.
That's true.
You know, all that. So I think, like, it's just followed the culture. And I think some people sometimes put a purity on things that were really just a product of the era.
Right. Right.
They put a, it's like when we joke about people wearing skirts to church. Everybody was wearing skirts at a certain point in history.
Right, right, right.
Every female basically was wearing skirts, so it made sense.
What was door to door was, you know, hey, I got this church, or, you know, giving out a pamphlet,
a tract,
or what is those daily breads? What are those things?
Right.
Daily bread.
Right.
So you might have went to maybe I say at the most 50 houses. You done 50 houses in a day where you got 3,000 friends on Facebook and you put the same thing on your posts.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, like if you're sitting at home chilling, watching TV, somebody knock on the door, it's like, I wasn't expecting nobody.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man, your whole family can't visit you without calling.
Right.
I know mine can't.
Right.
All right, rapid fire, what's next? Because okay, we got another comment too I want to answer. Go ahead, Mike.
Let's hit Preacher. When you're writing your sermon,
mm-hmm.
and you're writing it out, you typing it, and you come up with a line and you think it's real good, are you like, oh, that's going to get them right there?
Oh, always. Oh, yeah.
This is going to stop them right here, Doc.
Listen, I mean, it's beyond, I mean, super pastor, minister out there, God bless you. All you say is what the Holy Spirit tells you to say. But, man, when something good, man, I would jump out the shower. I would grab my phone and type it. I would pull over.
This did
and by the way, I still believe that inspirational moment and phrase came from the Holy Spirit.
Hold on,
you know what? If the sermon ain't hitting you first, it ain't going to hit nobody.
Come on. Mike, you'll see me at work going crazy, right?
You'll see me at work
writing the sermon. I'm like, oh, my God. Did y'all read this real quick?
You stop sometimes, right, check this out.
Yeah,
that's good.
Right. I'm having Baptist fits at red lights, you know.
That's funny. On the person side.
Okay.
You know, you guys are in the churches, you were in the public, you're out in the community, everybody knows you. And in some instances, people put you on a pedestal and tell you how good you preach, how anointed you are. As a person, how hard is it to stay humble and not let that go to your head? Because you are human.
It's tough.
Well, for me, honestly, it's not that tough. I mean, it is tough, but it's not that tough because for me, honestly, I know I've done I've made many mistakes. I've had many mess ups. I've had many falls. I'm not perfect. You know, I can't say I haven't had great sermons. I can't say I haven't had great times, but I know my inner me. And so, but me knowing me, I know the mistakes that I make. I know that there are times me and my wife is arguing. Me and my wife just had this down out fight, right? You know, we looking at each other evil, and I got to go in church and be like, praise the Lord. Everybody lift your hands up and give God praise. You know, and my wife is sitting in the audience like,
oh, that-
This cat.
She came that Sunday. You know what I mean?
So, hey, she ain't saying cat. She ain't saying this cat.
Right?
It ain't cat.
So, I think you have to weigh your awesomeness, you know, in equilibrium to your mess ups, to your falls.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean,
right.
I'll admit it's tough. I will admit it is tough. There weren't a whole lot of things that were hyped up in my life until I got into preaching, and it's real easy. And I don't think I'm that rare. I think a lot of ministers found a great deal of their affirmation from the accolades of people. You know, when you, I don't care, even if it's all purely spiritual, just the fact that you've been used by God and people were truly blessed, you got up there and delivered something that really had a impact on their lives. Right. You have to be cautious. You have to be careful. God has a way of humbling you in his own way, as no Jeff doubt. Said, reminding you of where you've come from, what you're doing. But honestly, I mean, anybody in any position of prominence, whether right. it's a politician, a movie star, a sports star, when you're in front of people, you're going to have people booing you and people cheering you.
Right.
And you can't let the boos get you too low, and you can't let the cheers get you too high.
Right.
You said something that sparked me. You said, you know, that was your preaching was your thing. You know, that's when you get. But, you know, I can recall playing football, and I can recall playing West Virginia, and the write up on the article was Jeff Stanford done everything but sold tickets to the game.
Right.
So, you know, I had 349 yards against West Virginia Brook. The next game, you know, I think I'm gonna come out and kill something, and I had like 20 yards.
Hey, you was rattling off. Hey, Mike, he was rattling off them stats like Al Bundy talking about his championship, state championship.
Hey, I mentioned the next game too, all
right? Right, you did. You had that experience, Jeff. You know what it's like to be in that. Like, I didn't really get that platform until it became Pastor Todd,
right.
Naming the paper, preaching revivals. You know, when you start feeling yourself, honestly, if you get a chance to feel yourself at a young age, you might not do it so much at a later age. You didn't get a chance to really get, you know, smell yourself until later, you might struggle because you didn't come back down from that young enough to kind of know what it feels like.
No doubt. Well, hey, I just want to say I appreciate you guys, man, Todd and Jeff. You notice I didn't call you pastor. But yeah, Todd and Jeff, I appreciate you guys, man.
I'm offended. I am highly offended.
We really love you, producer.
No, but
you got some questions, Todd?
Yeah, I got some questions in the comments. You want to get out?
No, real quick, I just want to say, you know, that was the whole point of this show. You know what I mean? To have two pastors come on and to talk honestly, openly, and so people can see what it's really like and what y'all really deal with. So
right.
Love y'all, man. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, Doc.
Appreciate you. Okay. We're going to do real rapid fire. Okay. A. Lee Johnson says, why are pastor kids so bad, whorish, and stuck up? The answer is they're not.
They're not.
The answer is they're not. And I'll make it real quick. Any personality defect you can apply and put, you know, pastor, church folk, Christians, it's because they're human. People are human. And like I said, just like the child of a Hollywood star might have additional pressures on them, the child of the mayor of a city might have additional pressures on them, the child of a pastor might have additional pressures on them. So the negative aspects that might affect all young people will likely be more amplified and more people see it and know it.
Yes.
So there's a lot of bad, horrid, stuck-up kids out there. Their daddies and mamas just ain't ministers.
Amen.
All right. Next rapid fire. This is for you, Jeff. And you don't even go to school, so I don't know why it matters to you. Should Warren Harding abandon the Indian mascot? First of all, it's Native American, Scott.
I guess I can answer it because I graduated from the Wilson Redmen, who had the same exact mascot.
Nah, y'all name is Redmen. Y'all like the Redskins of high school. Who is y'all principal, Daniel Snyder? Redmen.
I think in this day and age, they're gonna have to. Everybody's gonna have. I mean, it is what it is. You know, and I think sometimes we may take it too far, but I think if we don't take it too far, then we're going to get stuck, you know, with things that are more important.
So I know people in any particular offended group or supposedly offended group, can enough people affirm that they're not offended by it to save some of these mascots? Like, if all the Native Americans make a decision on which mascots and names that they're okay with.
But you can't, that's the problem. I think you can't.
We're the ones deciding. White and black folk are the ones arguing about this sometimes more than Native Americans are.
Right, but I see that's the point.
They're trying to get their land back, and we're worried about a mascot.
We can't decide on which red man, which warrior, which
Why one. Can't we?
Because we can't. We also can't decide on if Jigaboo, nigga.
I can. Listen, you can call me black. You can't call me blacky. It's just that simple.
What about blackish?
Unless you pay me blackish money. But having black people decided that we can say the N-word and other people can't. I mean, I'm just saying, at what point do we stop? Because there are people that get on these posts and be like, I'm Native American and I'm not offended by it.
Yeah.
So are we being too politically correct?
I think it's taking over a little bit. I think we're all a little, in the words of Dave Chappelle, we're all a little brittle now. We're brittle, yeah. Brittle spirits.
I mean, but there has to be some sort of,
he said the red man.
Some sort of political correctness, because they're so, because all the diversity now wants respect.
True.
Notice for who they are. So there has to be some type of political correctness.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot we could pick out of that's right. That's just huge. Marlon asked,
another time.
We already know the answer to this. Do you feel that it's imperative for a pastor to also be involved in community activism and social issues? The answer is yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Do your people get affected by what happens in the community? Do your people, are they affected by what happens in social issues? I think my September series is going to be Render Unto Caesar for Bible study for Life Builders. And I'm going to talk a little bit about God and government and our role. But, you know, as long as policies, as long as social conditions affect the people I pastor, I'm going to be, and I'm going to say this, what I've said before, Pastor Jeff and Big Mike, I do not consider it a spiritual gift and some divine special calling for a small segment of people to speak plainly about what the Bible says about how people ought to be treated. And we got to stop acting like He has called some to be apostles, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, and some to be social activists. Like, absolutely. It's the six
right.
gifts.
And you don't, and listen, you don't have to have the mouthpiece that Pastor Todd or myself, or
I'm ready to march.
Pastor Harrison, or any of us that speak out and up against it have. You can show your support by coming to certain things, by just saying, we agree with such and such a saying. That is social activism.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can show it by joining organizations like Action and different organizations who are willing to stand up and stand up for rights.
Elder Rosetta Carter. That's
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It.
So, you know, we appreciate everybody's rapid fire questions. I don't think we had any more emailed to us or asked of us. You know, but I think that these questions are good and important for us to tackle. We can't always devote a whole show to them, but I'm grateful that Mike has some questions to throw at us based on the show, and that all of you had something to ask based on the show. So any last thoughts, Big Mike?
I got one more.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just seemed to make sure to know. Oh yeah. This is from, this is from your member.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Are we saying name?
It's from your member, Sonya Carter.
Oh, deaconess. Put deaconess on it.
Earlier she said, I don't have a name. I'm just deacon's wife. But
no, you deaconess Sonya Carter.
Sonya Carter said, why do pastors say I'm fixing the clothes for an hour?
Because I'm not done preaching. Because I'm not done preaching. That's why. Deaconess Carter. But I got more to say.
Well, hey, he answered your question. I don't say I'm finna close.
It's habit, man. It's habit. I got up and gave a long speech in long speech, but I mean, I literally took up 15 seconds to talk about how I wouldn't be long last week. I was just as long as I always am.
Hey, your pastor, Sonya Carter, is the only person who got 5 minutes with Todd to last a half an hour.
Take five with Pastor Todd. Take five times seven. It's a math problem.
Oh, my God.
Problem. Listen, this has been a great episode. I've appreciated you, Pastor Jeff. Big Mike, you got anything to say on your way out?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm tired of coming up with questions. So the people watching, please email your questions to the religiouslyincorrectpodcast@gmail.com. It doesn't matter the topic, doesn't matter what it is. Now, if it's too out the way, of course, I'm not going to pick it. But please email your questions. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. All right. Mike is out. Jeff, any last words?
Man, love you, man. Love the show. Thank you, all the viewers, those who are on, those who ask questions, those who make comments. Please continue to do so. Please continue to share, follow, subscribe, like, all of that, man. We love y'all, man. We do it for y'all. And, you know, it's just two pastors just trying to talk, trying to bring a different perspective on religiously incorrect subjects.
Absolutely. I enjoyed my time, Pastor Jeff. You know, make sure you follow us, as Pastor Jeff said. Make sure you get your swag at religiouslyincorrectpodcast.com. We would love your support. Pretty soon we'll probably be looking for sponsors. If you'd like to be featured, I'm just saying it, even though my producer's probably going to get upset. I'm just talking about it now, but hey, you know.
You're out there now, Doc. Go ahead.
Right. We just out there now. But we appreciate it. We really enjoy it. We love sharing. I love talking. This is a good Sunday night unwind for me.
Yes, it is.
This is a great Sunday night unwind. I get to just decompress with you, chatting it up, talking to people, you know, interacting. I love the questions. We appreciate all of your questions, all of the pastors that tune in. And I got to just say it one more time. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Just got to make it happen. Y'all take care. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace out.